Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's Shiur Sukkah Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Dalid. We are continuing in a discussion that we started in our last Shiur, and that had to do with the psul of a behemoth, the disqualification of a sukkah whose wall is made by an animal. In other words, if an animal stands in the place of one of the walls, if you need, we say, three walls for your sukkah, and one of the walls is a behemoth, so the sukkah is not a kosher sukkah. And we saw in the previous daf that the reason for the psul behemoth was, there were two reasons. It was a machlokes as to what the reason for it was, and we open up today's Gemara with those particular deos. The Gemara will ask that either according to either one of the deos, the psul behemoth is a psul derabonan. And of course, we should point out that a behemoth posels a doifen as a wall according to the Tano Rebbe Meir. So we now looking in the Gemara, 12 lines from the bottom, Bein l'mando amar shemot tamus, whether you are going to follow that opinion, that the behemoth is not qualified to serve as a wall because it might die and you'll be left without a wall, you'll be missing your third wall. Bein l'mando amar shemot tivrach, whether you are following the opinion that says that the problem of a behemoth is that it might run away. From the Torah standpoint, this is a kosher mechitza. The rabbonon who the gozru ba, and it's the rabbonon that imposed the restriction. In other words, you can see from the language shema tomos, it might die or it might run away. That indicates that essentially it's okay, but you have to take into consideration this contingency. That shows you that the analysis up till now was that the behemoth is disqualified only on a rabbinic level. Well, this leads us into the question, and we've marked this as a long question. The Gemara continues, Elo me'ata, if a ba'al chai, if an animal, is considered a mechitza, is considered a wall, or a partition, from a Torah standpoint, the Rebbe Meir, according to Rebbe Meir, then he is the opinion that we're analyzing right now. Titame mishum goylel, the behemoth should, being that it's considered a mechitza, it's considered a wall or a partition, it should convey tumas mace as goylel. Now, if you look in the diagrams, you can see on page 82 of the Pirush Chai, the book of diagrams that we've been using since the beginning of the Masechta, a picture of a golel in 408. We also referred to this earlier in diagram 399 on page 81. The cover of a grave or the cover of a coffin. We have an oral tradition that that cover conveys Tumas Mace. And yet, Alomo Tnan, why is it that we see in the following source, Rabbi Yehuda Metame Mishum Goylov, Rabbi Meir Metayer, if you use a behemoth as a goylel, as a cover for a coffin, then Rabbi Meir, you see here, says it's tohor, meaning it doesn't convey tumas goylel. Well, if midoraisa, a behemoth, is botel, is subsidiary to the sukkah that it is being set into, and it's considered a mechitza, then the same law, the same reasoning should apply to a behema set upon a grave or a coffin serving as a coffin cover. How could Rebbe Meir, if a behema is a mechitza midoraisa, how could Rebbe Meir be mekil? How could he be lenient on a doraisa level of tumah? You can't be lenient on Torah level requirements and stringencies. So it must be that a behema, in order for Rebbe Meir to mitahir by goleil, it shows me that even midoraisa, the behemo, is not a good mechitza. So that when Rebbe Meir passels a behemo from serving as a mechitza of a sukkah, as a waller of, as a doifen of the sukkah, he is saying it's no good even on a Torah level, not just on a mere rabbinic level, but even on a Torah level, it's not considered, an animal is not considered a wall. So now this brings us to, as you can see on the side of the Gemara text, Roman numeral number 2. This is, of course, a continuation of what we discussed on Daf Chof Gimel in our previous shiur, that this is a second approach of how to look at a behema as far as it's serving as a mechitza, or as a doifen, a wall. Elo Omer Avacha Bar Yankiv. And by the way, we have two lishonos here, and you'll see the variation is in terms of the names. So we have here, Rav Acha bar Yaakov said Kosovar. Actually, well, let me correct the mistake we just made. There are two versions. The Aleph and Beis that you see in diamonds are two different versions as to what Rav Acha bar Yaakov says in explaining Rabbi Meir. So the first approach is Kosovar Rabbi Meir. Rav Acha tells us that Rabbi Meir, who rules against a behema being a wall, is of the opinion Kol mechitza shoymedes beruach eino mechitza. Any wall that stands because of ruach, that means breath of life, breathing, that's the ruach. Something that stands only because of the breath of life is not considered a mechitza. Ika di Amri. And again, we have to emphasize, when we say it's not a mechitza, we're saying it's not a mechitza me ikur hadin, from the very root of the analysis, it's not a wall. Ika di Amri. Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Kosov Rabbi Meir, Kol mechitza. This is a second version of Rav Acha says, in explaining Rabbi Meir, Kol mechitza she'eno asuya bidei odom, eino mechitza. Any mechitza that's not man-made is not a mechitza. My binayu, what would the point of difference be between these two opinions? Ika binayu di ukma benoid tafuach. That you positioned a wall, you supported a wall on the top of an inflated node. Node is a skin bottle. You want to say it's a, you can say it's a balloon, but it's leather that's formed into a receptacle. So you can blow it up, you can inflate it, and you can see an illustration of this, illustration 409 in the Book of Illustrations on page 83. You see how the wall, the third wall, is supported on that inflated receptacle or skin bottle, node as it's called in the Gemara. So how does this present a point of difference between these two methods of analysis, between the Aleph and the Beis? So Laman Domar Mechitza Medes Beruach Eino Mechitza, a Mechitza that stands as a result of breath, Ruach, and it was inflated through wind or breath. It's not a mechitza. Harei omedes beruach. What's enabling this wall to stand? The fact that it was inflated with air. So, according to the first analysis, a mechitza that is dependent upon air in order for it to serve as a wall is not considered a wall. It's not considered a mechitza. So, the case of node tefuch would not be a kosher wall. Laman yamar eino asuya b'ide adam, a wall that's not made by man is not considered a wall. Well, hare, we're at the top of Omid Beis. Hare asuya b'ide adam. This is made by man. The skin was made into a receptacle. It was then inflated. All of this was efforts invested by man. So according to that analysis, a behema might not be good because it's eino asuya b'dei adam, but the node is going to be a good mechitza, having the wall support on the node, because the node is asuya b'dei adam, is made by man. And Rashi says at the top, the ruach zeh b'dei adam ba, the inflation of the node was through a man's efforts. We continue in the Gemara with a quote back to from Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. And before we continue in the Gemara itself, we glance at the side under our No Sour topic heading, and where we've written Ksivas Get Al Gabi Behema, the writing of a get on the back of an animal, a walking live animal. Can one who's divorcing his wife write out the text of a divorce document on the back of an animal and then give that to the woman? This is a machlokas Rabbi Yossi Aglili v'chachomim, two deos. So the Gemara continues, Omar Mar, a quote from that which we saw on Chof Gimel Omer Aleph, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omru, in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it was said, Af en koisvin olav gite noshim. We don't write on it, meaning on the back of an animal, divorce documents. And again, it means writing it directly on the animal and giving the animal with the written get on its back to a woman. My time at Rabbi Yossi Aglili, why does he rule out a get written on an animal as being a kosher get? The Sanyo, so we have a Tanaic source in which a word from the Pasuk opens the source, but Rashi gives you a little bit more of the Pasuk. On the top, Rashi says, V'kosav lo sefer krisus. So the word sefer appears in the Torah. Sefer, ein li'elo sefer. Now, it says, if the Torah uses the word sefer, I would think it only means, sefer means klaf. Klaf means writing it on parchment. Minayin the rabbis kol davar, from where do we know to include all other kinds of things? And Rashi gives examples, other writing materials, like a wooden slab, or on the leaf of a tree. Talmud lomar v'chosav lo mikol makom. The pasuk could have written v'nosan biyada sefer krisos. Rashi says the fact that it adds v'chosav lo sefer krisos indicates that write it on anything. Im kain ma talmud lomar sefer. So if you're telling me you can write it on anything, so then we're expanding the law beyond klaf. Klaf is parchment. We're saying you can write it on a wooden board, on a leaf. So what do I gain by the word sefer? Lomar loch. It tells me. Ma sefer, dover shein bo ruach hayim. Just like a piece of parchment is a non-living thing, it's just leather that was made, was its skin that was made into parchment, but it doesn't breathe anymore. It's just a piece of parchment. V'eino ochel, it doesn't eat. Af kol dover shein bo ruach hayim, v'eino ochel. So too, anything else is kosher for writing a get upon it, provided it does not have, it's not a living thing that eats. So with that, namely the word sefer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili rules out a behema. The Rabbanon who don't rule out a behema, they say, I kosav bas sefer, had the Torah written bas sefer. And Rashi says, if the Torah would have written the kosav lo krisus bas sefer, then ke de ko amris, then I would agree with you that sefer is coming to the exclusion of a behema. Hashto dichtiv sefer, it doesn't say bas sefer. It doesn't say, like we read before in the Rashi, the kosav lo sefer krisus bas sefer, but rather it says because of law sefer krisus. The word sefer then is not indicating material upon which it's to be written. It has a totally different purpose. The word sefer is lesfiras dvorim bi'almuhu da'asa. The word sefer comes to tell me that the get must contain information concerning the divorce. Sefer means to tell the story of the divorce. The Rabbanon, now according to the Rabbanon, that they didn't limit you in the first place. They accepted all kinds of materials for writing a get. Once again, the Rabbanon had no limitations. We saw they would allow you to write it even on the back of a behemoth. Hi v'kosav my darshi bay. What did the Rabbanon learn from the word v'kosav? According to the Rabbanon, there is no need to darshan like we saw in the source above brought in the name of Yosef Glili, that v'kosav came to include things beyond klaf. If your starting point sefer means a very limited type of writing material, and you want to expand it, so then you cite v'kosav law to expand it to other materials. But if sefer in the first place is not a limiting factor, because as the Rabbanan, sefer simply means the nusach, the content, the text of the it dictates what the text of the get must be, but it doesn't dictate any writing limitations. So what does the v'kosav word do for the Rabbanan? My darshi bay, what do they need it for? Answer, the answer takes a few lines to develop. Hahu, miboya, lahu, they need it for the following. B'ksiva misgareshes, v'eno misgareshes, b'kesef. It's coming to tell me that the woman is divorced only with an actual written document, something written out and not through a money payment. Salkadai tachamina, without v'kosav law, I might have thought, or I would have thought, since we know that there's a comparison made between divorce and initial marriage. There are comparisons. Mahavaya bekesef, af yitzia bekesef. So I would have thought to carry the comparison even further than what we do. In other words, we learn that the dinim of get are like kedushin in certain aspects. But if you're saying that we learn one from the other, I might go all the way and think that just like havaya, marriage is accomplished through kesef, af yitzia bekesef, so too divorce could be accomplished through money. In other words, the man would give her a money and say, you, with the receipt of this money, are divorced from me. Komash malon, that's what the Rabbanan use, the Kosav law, that divorce is accomplished only through writing and not through payment of money. So the Rabbanan have a very important din derived from the Kosav. For Rabbi Yosi Aglili, high svara menale, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who used the Kosav to include other writing materials, so where does he learn this din from, that she doesn't get divorced through being paid money? Answer, he learns it from the Sefer Krisus Nafkale. The Torah, we read the Rashi at the top line, where he quotes the Pasuk, V'kosav law Sefer Krisus. So it says, a Sefer of Krisus. He learns this din. Sefer Korso, V'ein Dover Acher Korso. Sefer, meaning, according to Rabbi Yosi Glili, something written out will result in her divorce, and not some other means, not money. The Idach, the Rabbanon, what do they learn from Sefer Krisus? Whatever Rabbi Yosef Glili learned from Sefer Krisus, the Rabbanon already learned from the Kosav. So what do they, the Rabbanon, do with Sefer Krisus? Hahu, mibayale, ledovar, hakires, lebeino, leveino. That the get must be a total separation between the man and the wife, without any clause that would undo the get without any time factor bound to it. What do we mean by that? Here we'll learn. We'll learn an example of that. Kidesanya. Hareza gitech amanas shelo tishti yayin v'amanas shelo teuchi lebeis avich li'olam. Person gives a woman a divorce and says this is a divorce on condition that you don't drink wine or you don't visit your father's house forever. Ein ze krisus. That is not a severance. Why? Because at any time in her life, if she should go visit her father, that will undo the get. So she's always bound to him through this clause. However, if a different kind of condition were made, kol shloishim yoim, that I am giving you this get, and on condition that for the next 30 days you don't drink any wine or you don't visit your father's house, but after 30 days she will be unconditionally divorced. So this is a good severance, an effective get. So this is what the Rabbanan learned from Sefer Krisus. It has to be a total separation. V'idach, Rav Yossi Haglili, Mikores Krisus Nafka. He learns that from the fact that the Torah could have written the word V'kosav lo Sefer Kores, and it troubled itself to add a couple letters to end up with the word Krisus. Rav Yossi Haglili learns that a get must be Dover HaKores Beino Leveino. V'idach the Rabbonon, Kores Krisus lo Darshi. The Rabbonon don't see anything significant in the change in language between the word kores and the word krisus. So the Rabbanan, in order to learn Dovah HaKores Beinu Leveino, they have to learn it from Sefer Krisus. So till now, in the last section of Mor, we've discussed the Makoros for the Machlokas Tanoim between Rav Yossi Haglili, who does not allow the writing of a get on the back of an animal, whereas the Rabbanon, who disagree, will allow. As we continue, we have a topic heading on the side, Ha'oise, Oses Ilonos, Kidvanos, Lesuka, Kshera. We're going to be talking about walls that are formed by trees. If we look in the Pirush Chai at diagram 410, so you'll notice what we are talking about. The walls, if you look closely at that picture, the walls of the sukkah are essentially the trees. We have a opening of the Gemara, which features Rav Acher ben Yaakov, and it was interesting just to note by way of names, even though there's no direct connection, but Rav Acher ben Yaakov was the one on Daf Chof Dal Amud Aleph, meaning on Amud Aleph of our Daf, was explaining the problem of the wall of a behemoth. And here we're going to see his comment made about walls in another context. So Omar Rav Acher ben Yaakov, Kol mechitza she'eino yecholo lamoi beruach metzuya eino mechitza. Any wall that cannot stand in a normal wind circumstances, wind velocities, it shakes in the wind. If it doesn't stand firm in the wind, it is not a mechitza. So that if a person would, let's say, have a sukkah made of a curtain that flaps back and forth in the wind, that would be a problem, according to Rav Acher ben Yaakov. On the side of the Gemara, in introduction to the series marking that we have now, the triangles, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, we have written Kushios Mimakoros. We're going to raise questions from Tanaic sources, Aldino Shuravacha, the Omar. We're going to be questioning his din, where he said, Kol mechitza sheino lichol lamod beruach metzuya eino mechitza. Mimakoros elu royim, we're going to see in the sources that the Gemara cites all kinds of examples of things that shake in the wind and nevertheless they're considered mechitzos. The double underline that will appear in the Gemara is the Ovid le ke behutza v'dafna. The Gemara will give an answer to all of the, and it's, we say in our note, I'll call echod mikushios anal gemor mataratzis David lay, etc. with regard to each one of the questions that the Gemara will raise concerning what seems to be shaky mechitzas as being good mechitzas, the Gemara will say no. In each one of the cases, he tied together the branches or whatever is in question. He tied them, fastened them down so that they wouldn't shake at all in the wind. The Gemara continues. Tanan, Ha'isa sukasa bein olonas v'ilonas defanas lokshera. Rav Achav Bar Yankov says any mechitza that can't stand firm still in a stand still in the wind is not a mechitza. Our Mishnah says one who makes his sukkah between trees and the trees serve as its walls, it's a kosher sukkah. But is it not so that the trees sway back and forth? And yet it's a good mechitza. Is that not a question on Rav Achav? Hocha b'mayaskinon b'koshin. Here we're talking about old trees that aren't so flexible. There's a picture of 411. He says, "Bekasha pirush Rashi lonis zekeinim v'avim." They're old, and as a result of it, they have a wide girth, and as a result, they don't present a problem of swaying back and forth in the wind. The Gemara asks, "Well, v'ha'ikon nofo, is there not the branches?" Rashi says, "V'ha'ikon nofo." Rashi, you'll notice, is across from here in the Rashi. He says, "Shahoylich bo po'omim she'af hanof min ha'doifen." Branches sway, and many times branches form the wall. And it's good, even though it sways. And is that not a problem for Rav Achav Bar Yankov? The Gemara answers, "De'ovid lei behutza v'dafna." The branches are fastened together with hutza v'dafna, different types of wood or branch material that he interweaves with the branches, the current branches that are attached to the trees, causing them to be firm. You can see this idea of Ovid Lei Butza Bedafna in an illustration 412, the bottom of page 83. The Gemara asks, "Ihochi mai lameimra." If you took branches and you interwove them with Hutza Bedafna, and you make it into a firm wall, so what do I have to tell you that in the first place? What's the chiddush in telling me that? In other words, if that's the pshat in Ha'isa Sukkosu Bein Elos Lodos Tefas Lo Kshera, it's obvious. If that's the pshat, if the explanation is because you basted them down with Utsa V'dafna, what could be wrong with that? So Mal Detemo Nigzor Dilma Osir Shemushibilon. The thought was that maybe we should impose a gzera, not to machshir this kind of wall, because you might come to use the tree to place your vessels on the branches, and that would be a usur. Chumash Malon, we don't impose such a restriction, and we're not fearful that you're going to come to use the branches for supporting vessels and what have you. Toshma, this source comes from the topic of Pase Biros. This is a topic we've discussed in the past, and here we're talking about the pit, and it's surrounded by what's supposed to be in technically four right angle partitions, and we're going to be looking at the top of page 84 for appreciating our sugya now. We continue in the Gemara. Hoya sham ilon o goder o mechitzas hakonim nidon mishum diomed. Now, if there was a tree or a fence or a mechitzas hakonim, a reed fence, nidon mishum diomed, it would count as a diomed. Well, is this not a question? I dashed underline here, mechitzas hakonim, do they not sway in the wind? You can see what that would look like if you had the mechitzas hakonim. It would look like the gimel in diagram 413. And the Gemara is saying, "Hosam nami mishum de'ovid lei b'hutzav edafna." You can see that in illustration 414. Toshma, Ilon HaMesach Al Oretz. We'll look at illustration 415. What you see there is a large umbrella-shaped tree with branches that come down to very close to the ground, and there's a man sitting under the tree. He happens to be a shepherd, and the Gemara says, Ilon HaMesach Al Oretz, Im Ein Nofo Gavom En Oretz Shlosh Tvachim Metal Lin Tachtov. If the branches of the tree arch over and remain within three tochim of the ground, then you can carry on Shabbos under the tree, because you are considered in an area with mechitzos. Hamai, ha'ka'ozovasi, why is this considered a mechitza? Does it not sway in the wind? Hosam nami David le behutzav edafna. Are there two? The Gemara answers, they fasten down the nof with hutzav edafna. Well, then it's a perfectly good wall. Yochi netada v'kula. You should be allowed to carry throughout the whole area. Alama Amar Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua ein metaplin bong. Ella, we're at the top of Daf Chof Hei. Ella beis osayim. So if why does Rav Huna restrict you to an area of two saw in which you can carry under the tree and not any more? Two saw is an area of 100 by 50 amos, 5,000 square amos, and if it's a very large tree that's more than 5,000 square amos, you can't carry in under the whole area. But if it's perfectly good mechitzos because you took the branches and offered le b'utzav edafna, so what's the chisaron over here? Answer: mishum dahave dira shetashmishe la'avir. It's a dwelling. In other words, the shepherd is under the tree, he sits there, he might eat there, enjoy the shade, but the main purpose for the shepherd being there is to watch what is going on beyond the tree, outside the tree. So it's a dira, it's a dwelling for external purposes, and that's what the Gemara says by saying mishum davi dira shetashmishe la'avir v'chol dira shetashmishe la'avir ein metaltin bo elos osayim. It's a dira whose tashmish, whose service is, or its purpose is for the area outside the tree. The shepherd is there in order to keep his eye on the flock. The flock are not under the tree, so he's there for the area outside, and as a result it's called dira shetashmishe la'avir, and you don't have the benefits of a walled-in area as far as Shabbos are concerned to carry the entire under the entire enclosed area. Toshma, we look at illustration 416. The Gemara will make reference to three scenarios. That's 416, 417, and 418. This topic has to do with a person who's on the road and Shabbos sets in, and just before Shabbos he finds himself in one of these situations. We're going to see that you will have a right to walk 2,000 amos, not from the point that you're physically standing, but from the edge of each one of these items described. The 2,000 amma walking limitation that exists on Shabbos is referred to as Tchum Shabbos, and that tells me that I can't walk beyond, let's say, the city limits of where I live. So one has to establish what his personal location is, and from his personal location on Erev Shabbos, wherever he is at the point Shabbos enters, from that point he has the right to walk 2,000 amas in all directions. If a person finds himself in one of these situations, his enclosed area is considered like his personal dalet amas, his personal area. And as a result of that, the measure of the 2,000 amas doesn't start from literally where he is standing, but from the edge of the enclosed area in which he is found. And even in 4:16, it doesn't look like he is in an enclosed area, but there's a concept of good ochis mechitza, the rising wall. The edges of this mound would rise, forming an enclosed area for him. And he starts measuring his 2,000 amas from the edge. Now, how does all this tie into our sugya? It's going to tie in, when you get to illustration 4:18, there are grains that are standing, and there's an empty spot in which the man is found. We're saying he can measure his 2,000 amas in all directions from where the grain line begins. The question will be, but don't the grains, don't they shake, don't they sway in the wind? And how can they serve as a mechitza to help define his area? So let's read this now in the Gemara. Shavas betel shugavua asora fu me'arba amois ad beis haim. A person, shavas means he was present there at the entrance of Shabbos on a mound that has a height of 10 tefachim, and its surface area is anywhere from 4 amos until a base, so 2 base saw, which we said before is 5,000 square amos. V'chein b'neka shu omoika sora v'hu me'arba amasad beis asayim. Likewise, if someone finds himself in a neka, and Rashi uses a word that looks like the English version of valley, so he finds himself in a depression that has 10 tefachim of depth to it, and its area is from 4 amas to beis asayim. V'chein komak tzura. Likewise, harvested grains, v'shiboilus makifus oisa, and stalks or sheaves surround this area. Mahalech es kula v'chutzal apayim amo. So you can walk the entire enclosed area, and your odometer doesn't start calculating distance yet, until you get to the edge of the enclosed area, and from the edge you start counting your 2,000 amas. V'afagav the cause of the osi. These shibolos serve as a mechitza to define his location, even though they sway. So is that not a kashan Rav Acha? The answer is Hosanami. There too, the Ovid Le, Hutza Vedafna. There too, he fastened the grains together with Hutza Vedafna. We interwove Hutza Vedafna branches into the grains, securing them so that they don't sway in the wind. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.